Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good happy day after Christmas and bah humbug. I'm glad that's over with. Had a great Christmas. Grandkids change everything. I feel so sorry. I can say this and he won't get mad. My wife and I yesterday, well, our kids, most of us, went to my buddy Norm's yesterday for Christmas dinner, whatever, and just grieved again that, man, how many of my friends don't have grandkids? There would never be a greater grandpa than a good buddy, Coachie. Never be a greater grandpa, never a greater grandmother than his wife, Barb. And Coachie just turned 70, and they don't have any grandkids. And it was so neat yesterday to watch them interact with our grandbabies and how blessed we are to have grandchildren. Just beyond measure. I need to do a show on that. I know there are other guys out there that don't have grandbabies. I think it's a serious, serious issue. And I think without it sounding too harsh, man, we've really raised a most selfish generation. Those that have come behind us. It's unbelievable. Our oldest son, Zach, he doesn't have any babies. Abby has two, and she's gonna, as they would say, gonna pup one on January 9th. That's the due date. She's got three, and Maggie just had her third. So we have six. And it goes back to, you know, I look back on my own life, Michelle and I there could never have been a greater mother than my wife. We should have had 15 kids. I look at Matt Twella, I look at Rusty Thomas and the Johnston family and think, what the heck was I thinking? And I guess I'm just saying this out to you, all of you out there who have children tell your kids to have kids. When are you going to sit down with them and have that talk? Say, goodness gracious, have some children here, will you? And how did we, this baby boom generation, how did we raise such selfish, self-indulgent children? I don't know. But it grieves me that I get to have so much fun with my little grandbaby. And so many of my friends don't have little grandbabies. It grieves me. It's going to catch up with us here, by the way. So we had a great, great Christmas, and I'm thinking more and more. I don't know how I do this. I'd like to stop celebrating Christmas, actually. How do I do that and keep peace in my home with my children, my grandchildren? And I mean, there's got to be a way to do it. But Christmas is so self-centered. We're so self-centered. Even though we talk about, I watched my little grandkids yesterday. It's like the third place they've been to get presents, right? You guys know how that is, have grandkids. They went to this grandma and then this one and this Christmas. I got another one Saturday night. And our little grandson David comes up and he's opened about 400 of them. And he says to me, Grampy, are there any more under the tree named David? It's never enough. And never, ever, never, ever enough. What are we teaching our kids? Really? What are we teaching? And it's tradition. We know that. All of us know that. I wonder that, seriously. Our pastors certainly know it, don't they? They know Christian is pagan. Christmas is pagan. The idea of bringing a tree in your house, lighting it up, those aren't Christian. You won't find anywhere in the scriptures other than in Luke, I believe, when it talks about the incarnation, that holy night. And it's just everything. So anyway, I don't want to bah humbug that anymore because we had a great Christmas. I don't know. Some of the greatest relationships that you have with your children is around that. At that time of year. But let's call it something else. Let's not call it Christmas. Let's not call it the birth of the Savior. That's not what it's all about. Anybody think I'm too bah humbug this morning? Got someplace I want to go. Just throwing that one out there. Just coming out of my own heart. Floor is open. Got to walk in. What's that song say? Got to go where you're not invited. Got to stand when you haven't met, don't have the floor. Something like that.
Yeah, I'll comment on how the overindulgence. I mean, when we were growing up, we could be out in the dirt playing with Hot Wheels and sticks all day long. And these just like what you just said, is there another present for me? Nothing is ever enough.
Never enough. Never enough. And I think sometimes we're going to have to figure this one out too. As I'm thinking about Christmas and how our own grandchildren were certainly overindulged. How do you explain God to children when they've got 14 gifts under the tree? In the poor Christian family, you know, down the street, doesn't even hardly have enough food to eat. And how do you justify God is kind to rich people, but God is not kind to poor people? How do we rectify that? Because that's certainly not the gospel message, is it?
Anybody else? Well, money is not a representation of salvation, nor is it of God's favor on you.
That's right.
It just has to do. That's just the way it goes.
It is the message we're sending, though, isn't it? Isn't it, Chad? I'll get off of it. I'll get off of it. Welcome to all of you this morning. I only got about 30. Sorry about yesterday being off, but I wish I'd have done a show yesterday, by the way. But saved up some ammo for today. Is Weaver in there? Roger, you healed up today? I should be asking if anybody else is healed up. I know Roger had some knee surgery. You healed up and back to work yet? Weaver, are you still taking time off? Must be laying in bed listening to the show. I'm going to show you something else I'm going to do. I just made the decision this morning. Jared, pull up there. Urbana 2018. I got a couple little things I want to lay out. On the plate here real quick, okay? Then we're going to dive into it a little bit. Urbana 2018. Matt Tuella, I hate when people say this. He's a friend of mine, like you name drop, but Matt Tuella is a friend of mine, Jason Storms. Matt has a ministry called Missionaries to the Preborn. He started in Wisconsin, Milwaukee area. Of course, Matt's done the Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates and written a book and is, you know, talking about states' rights. And really, really, he's just a guy, though, right? He's just a guy like the rest of us. So I got an email from Matt, said, hey, we're going here. Anybody interested in going here? And he pulled. I said, going where? And here's what it is. Urbana Student Missions Conference. It's called Urbana 2018. I thought, what? Excuse me. So what's Urbana 2018? Never heard of such a thing. So I got on the Urbana 2018, and Jared, go back there where it says about Urbana. It's a gathering of about 20,000 young Christians. By young, I mean college-age students, I would assume. It's a catalytic event, bringing together a diverse mix of college and graduate students, faculty, recent graduates, pastors, church ministry leaders, mission organizations in school. These are people who are all coming to Urbana, except it's in St. Louis. So it must have started out in Urbana, Champaign, Urbana is what I'm thinking. There's a little 5-minute video there, Jared. I don't take the time to show this. Okay, Jared's getting ready. I don't take time to show it. I think 16,000 people are going to be there. I'm just reading down through here. 16,000 worship sessions, whatever that means. Bible exposition, whatever that means. Messages and seminars, manuscript Bible studies, testimonies of the Global Church Prayer Ministry. Keep going on down there, Jared. Scroll down there a little bit. Urbana's first history came together in 1946, Toronto, Canada, 575 students. There's a conference director, and with total registration be 1,300, 255 schools representing. The next conference in 1948 was in Champaign, Urbana. That's where it's got its name. Over the years, it's continued to grow, yada, yada, yada. So they're having this conference in St. Louis this Thursday. That would be tomorrow. And Matt Tuella and his group at Missionaries of the Preborn, they go there and they engage these 20,000 people going into this Christian conference. I don't know what you call it. They take abortion pictures and they engage them in the importance of building the kingdom and rescuing the preborn. So Matt's got a crew that's already gone, and Michelle and I, just as I before I came down here this morning, Michelle and I made the decision that we're going to go too. And it'll be Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9:30. I think Matt said we'll be on the streets Thursday evening. We'll be on the streets on Friday morning until Friday afternoon, and then we'll jump in our car and I'll come back home. As Kevin Van Story says, wow, what a captive audience. Jared, scroll down. Go back up the top a second, Jared. I want to. This blew me away, guys. I don't care. Listen, I run conferences. I understand you have to have conferences. I understand that you have to charge to pay your expense. I understand that. Jared, click on registration. Look at this. Go on down there, Jared. Blew me. I couldn't believe it. How much does it cost? How about, go to that one, Jared. You went right by that. There, oh, right there. Up a little bit. Up a little bit, Jared. There. How much does it cost to go to Urbana? Right there. Nope. Over here to the right. There you go. Well, you can register now. View the price chart, Jared. Click on the price chart. There are going to be 20,000 people there. $715. And if you read, it doesn't include housing and it doesn't include food. $715. That's if you registered late. If you got in early, way back last June, it was $435. I don't care about money. I don't care about money. It's not the point. The point I'm making is 20,000 people are going to pay $715 to go. I'm going to go. Anybody wants to, I guess I'm yelling out there, David Arthur. Anybody wants to go? Well, David, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Well, I'm going. Michelle and I are going to go tomorrow. So what a place. What a captive audience. And folks, why do you really think it is the millennial generation? I'm really asking this with it. I'm really asking this. Why have we not trained up a generation? Here it is, 20,000 people. What can 20,000 people do in regards to abortion and all these other issues? Or as we were talking about the other day, David Arthur was talking about it, I believe. Maybe it was on his show. Maybe we're wasting our time out on the streets protesting when we ought to be training the people. Why? I went down the list. I'm not going to. You can check that out. It's urbana.org. Urbana.org. Check it out and look at the seminar. And none of it has anything to do with discipling or cultural issues. None of it. Can I tell you why? All about getting people saved. Can't want to come back with what we were talking about last week. Saved. Saved to do what? Saved to do what? Just to go to heaven? I'll get off of it. Okay, another thing I want to throw up there. You guys, two issues this morning. Let me do two tinfoil hat issues because I think they're really, really critical. You guys aren't going to think this is important, but I believe it is. Jared, click on 911 breakthrough. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. They've been out there since about 14 or 15 years. Showing that it was impossible what happened 911 was totally, completely, physically, scientifically impossible. Those towers came down, especially Tower 7, totally impossible. Well, look at this on their website. Major breakthrough. There is a federal grand jury currently, this is breaking news, which you won't hear it anywhere. Federal grand jury to hear evidence of the World Trade Center demolition. The architects and engineers for 911 Truth have been working for 14 years to get a grand jury to investigate what happened at 911. Play that 30-second reel of the building. Because listen, folks, that what happened at 911, the falling of those buildings, the architects and engineers for truth say it was scientifically impossible. They're not saying what happened, who did it. They're not saying anything other than it didn't happen this way. There ain't no way it happened this way. And there's a grand jury that has been impaneled. Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Is there any sound of that, Jared? Or are they just showing the pictures of that coming down? Okay, just that's Building 7 coming down. And they also, so there it is. Architects and Engineers, it's aetruth.org. Folks, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. As we know, the government won't investigate it. And if you want to get something really, really good, Jared, go to the next one, which is the SGT report. I don't know if you guys ever spend any time listening to the SGT report. If you don't, you should. The SGT report. I sent you that link, Jared. Now, I listened to this yesterday as I was taking my walk. Go to the 1 minute mark, Jared. These people aren't flunkies, okay? These people are not flunkies. I want you to listen to about 2 minutes of the SGT report, and then Jared, put it in the show links or wherever that people can this thing, this is about 55 minutes, but it is worth listening to, okay? Let's watch just a couple minutes of this.
Hey, what, Dave, I just wanted to say that in the 9/11 commission report, Tower 7 was never mentioned in that entire report. Only the North and South Tower, obviously, it would have been exposed.
Chad, it's even worse than that. If you watch this video, it's even worse than that, okay? So understand, these aren't flunkies, all right? These are not flunkies. These aren't tinfoil hat guys. These are educated architects, and they say they don't care who the – but they don't want people to ever believe that those planes brought those towers down because it's physically impossible for that to have occurred. Let's play a couple minutes of this, Chad. SGT report.
Then we watch the building collapse.
Amazing, incredible, pick your word. For the third time today, it's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before.
A building is
deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
Hey friends, thank you so very much for tuning in. Like my last two interviews, this one is most assuredly going to be deemed not suitable for most advertisers by our fascist friends at YouTube. Do you know why? Because it's hardcore truth that we're about to broach. And I am so thrilled to have on the line right now Richard Gage. He's the founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Barbara Honegger, a lead researcher, author, and public speaker on 9/11. Her book, of course, is called October Surprise. She was also a high-level official at the White House and DOJ. And we have on the line the president and chairman of the board from the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry, David Meiswinkel. Let me welcome you each separately. First, Richard, thank you so much. I feel like we know each other. We kind of do. I met you back in the day, literally, when I was cutting my teeth in truth. I had joined the local chapter of the 9/11 Truth Movement here in my community, and we brought you in to speak, and we all went out and had a beer with you, and that goes back to like 2006, 2007, Richard.
And that's just when I got started also, Sean. I mean, that was like less than a year after I first heard about what really happened at the World Trade Center from David Ray Griffin on the radio, also from Bonnie Faulkner's Guns and Butter program. That was an extraordinary year. We got launched, 15 of my the architects that I worked with at the time thought I was nuts when I started talking about this, but then I bribed them with pizza and brought them in, and they saw the evidence, and by God, all 15 of them said, my God, you're right. All three of these World Trade Center skyscrapers were brought down with controlled demolition. And now okay. We have three.
Stop that. Here's the thing. There is, as you go on and watch this, and we'll put it in the links, there is a grand jury that has been impaneled. Not a citizen grand jury. Like, in other words, these guys behind the scenes have been pushing. There's now is a grand jury put in place to research this farther and farther. And you know what? Folks, this is another example, in my not so humble opinion, of the propaganda being so great that you really do not believe what you see. You don't believe it. You do not. If you listen to this video from SGT Report, they go through the whole thing, the pulverizing of the concrete, the melting of the steel. The fact that it just disintegrated, and how only way it could have been done. And I mean, this thing is really, really fascinating. And I made it in my own notes today, folks. At the end of all of this, I'm going to tell you, at the end of all of this is a fraudulent birth certificate. I don't care, man. They ain't never getting away from it. At the end of it is a fraudulent birth certificate. Hey, Michelle, I know you're listening up there. Bring my new hat down here if you can. It's sitting up on my dresser. So again, hey, folks, if they could convince us, smart people like me and you, if they could show us Building 7 collapsing, can you go back there again, Jared? Which was never struck by a plane. If they can play this and we look at that and we think that happened normally, that shows you how deep and deep the deception must really be. Now, we look at that thing. Not struck by a plane, implodes, falls on its own. Look at that. And today, most people, Don't see anything wrong with it. Another picture of it. And so there's a segment in this video here where they talk to these architects and they explain why that couldn't happen. It couldn't happen. There's no, it defies physics. It could not have happened. And that smoke that you see, folks, that's pulverized concrete. Concrete turning to dust. That's, Jared, go to the beginning again. Now, look, folks, look. Ain't flames. It's not smoke. It's not, there's smoke behind it. But there's not smoke coming up out of this thing. It's dust. It's particle dust from concrete. The same thing. Jared, see if you can find real quick a picture of the towers, the two main towers falling. I mean, that certainly ought to be easy to find. And watch. Watch the dust. The pulverized dust of the concrete that absolutely just turned into. There we go. Jared got one here. I don't know what this video is going to look like. This is a nine. There it is, Jared. There, this is the 911 Engineers for Truth. You can find this at 91. Just play this. Watch these towers. This is not smoke, folks. This is pulverized concrete.
The whole thing's two minutes.
Okay, play it then. Play it, Jared. Sorry to talk about this, but I think this is significant.
NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, acknowledges that the towers came down at essentially free-fall acceleration. What are the implications of that admission?
The measurements have indicated that Tower 1 collapsed in about 11 seconds and Tower 2 collapsed in about 9 seconds. This is essentially the rate at which free-fall would happen.
The buildings actually accelerated as they came down, meaning they were not getting resistance from these massive columns in the center of the core of this building. The core of this building was very heavy. They're huge columns, huge.
This block accelerates straight down, or is this picking up speed downward continually?
Look at the dust.
Slow down.
It just continues
to gain speed. It accelerates the entire time. And that was what was extremely significant. This structure was capable of holding 3 to 5 times the weight. And here it is falling through it with a resistance of only 1/3 of its weight. Roughly 90% of the resistance has been removed. And what's happening is the top section is not crushing down the lower section like a pile driver, which is the picture that NIST basically is painting. It's actually falling into material that's already been pulverized, that's offering very little resistance. It's just coming down through pre-pulverized material.
Structural connections not only had to fail nearly simultaneously, but in sequential order.
You stood there and watched it destroy itself, wiping out floor by floor all 287 structural columns, as if they didn't exist underneath the damage zone.
So there you are, okay? By the way, I got to do this, Jared. my good buddy Bob Roof and Dr. Bob Roof in Iowa sent me my new, I don't know if I, do I call this a tinfoil hat. What do I call this thing? What do I call this hat? Is that my Smokey the Bear hat? If I wear that one, Bob, if I wear that the rest of the show, White Ring Watch will kill me. Thanks,
hey,
Bob.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, I love it. Hey, Pam and I, we were, the day the Trade Towers hit, we were a mile away as the crow flies. It was the most beautiful blue sky day I'd ever seen in New York. And we heard the explosions. Now, at the time, you know, you're so much is happening, but looking back, we heard firsthand. We were firsthand witnesses. They were explosions.
Yeah. Well, hey, George, if you listen, folks, take four. Here's what you do. Somebody showed me how to do this. When you watch a YouTube video, you can go into the settings and you can speed it up so it plays faster. you know, listen, you know, some people talk really, really slow. Well, so you got an hour of video, you can turn it into a half hour. Go for a walk, sit down, listen to that SGT report about the significance is there's a grand jury. And they explain, these guys, all these learned men explain the work that they had to go through to get a grand jury impaneled. It has been impaneled. And this grand jury is going forward, and these guys are going to present all this evidence to the grand jury. They're not saying who did it, who was behind it, but they're just saying this did not happen. Ain't no way this didn't happen. Don't know what happened, but it wasn't this. And we know where that all will lead, right? And so one of the points that I'm trying to make, and I tried to make it the other day as well, when I was talking to you about, you know, getting some cash out of the bank. We're coming down, boys, to it's fourth quarter in this swamp thing. It's fourth quarter. And so we're going to see some trick plays. We're going to see a lot of stuff going on. Do you understand the implications if they get into this 911 thing? And they really, really realize, say, something happened here. Who did this? But see, I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't know if we can trust in our government to tell us the truth. That's why this is so powerful, because these are non-government people with a lot of power who are really forcing the hand of the government. Listen, sorry about the tinfoil hat here on Christmas, but SGT report, it's in the link. Okay, now if you're just listening, go to YouTube and click on S, like Sam, like a sergeant, okay? SGT, sergeant, SGT report. Go to YouTube, click on SGT report, and then it'll pop right up, 911. I think, Jared, do you have it up there for them? So if we were to walk people through that, they would know how to, there it is, okay? You just go to SGT report. It shows you all the videos on the SGT report, which, by the way, I like. And look, there it is. First one, grand jury to be impaneled. See change in 911. So, again, I suggest all of you, go watch that. By the way, this guy puts out great videos all the time, okay? Hey, Jared, scroll forward a little bit. Just kind of scroll. I want everybody to go forward. I'll tell you when to stop. Keep going past her. Keep going past that. Well, I guess it's not. Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong thing. Keep going down. There, right there, Jared. Back. Okay. Now this, I want you there, folks. This is a foreign, freeze it right there. This guy right here is a foreign architect who'd never heard about it. And so they show him the pictures and they ask him. Now you have to be able to read the words underneath it, because he's speaking in German, I believe. All right. But Jared, go ahead and believe this and play this and listen to what he says.
Dumbfounded and couldn't believe that building came down on 9/11.
Zie je vanaf boven gaan? Nee, je gaat vanaf onder. Je gaat vanaf...
No, the bottom. It starts from the bottom. The guy tells
me. Onder, ja.
Toch?
Ja.
Ze hebben gewoon kolommen weggeblazen.
Blew up columns. The rest caved in afterwards, he said.
Dit valt anders als het World Trade Center.
Vind je niet dan?
Ja, je ziet het. De onderste verdiepingen gaan eerst.
Ja, en de rest zakt er gewoon in. Dit is controle.
He says as you look at it. This is a controlled demolition. The bottom floors go first. See, they told us the top pancaked it, right? And he said, just look at it. The bottom floors go first. He had no idea when he looked at the video. Bottom floors go first. Couldn't have happened that way. Okay, enough of that. I spent enough time on it. But, folks, there's stuff going on. And I guess the point, if there is a point, they can tell us anything, can't they? Can't they tell us anything and we'll believe it? The question again becomes, who is they? Who is they? Well, it's somebody. So along that line, Jared, go to Romans 12. Romans 12.
Hey, yeah. Can I throw this in there right quick?
Please do.
Yeah. I remember seeing a video or a clip of Donald Trump at the World Trade Center right after this took place. And this was like a day or two after it took place. And he said, there is no way that those planes knocked these buildings down. He said, I was here when they were building these buildings. They built these buildings to withstand hits from 747s. And the planes that hit them were nowhere near as large as 747s. He said, this thing, there's something funny about this, and I don't know what it is, but hopefully we'll find out. But he said, there's something funny about this. And there's that video out there somewhere, if somebody can find it, of him saying that, because I specifically remember seeing it.
Jared, I think he just had it, Jared. Go back. There's 2 minutes right there. Try this and see if this is it, Jared. Donald Trump, this is back 2001.
...110-story buildings that are reduced to rubble, thousands and thousands of lives. I just got to see something that I've never seen before. I have hundreds of men inside working right now, and we're bringing down another 125 in a little while, and they've never done work like this before. And they're hardworking people, but they've never seen anything like it, and they've never done work like this before. It's terrible.
Tell me what it's like at Ground Zero. Tell me about the workers that you saw and what they're doing there.
Well, not only is it devastation, but it's very dangerous because every few minutes a whistle would go off and everybody would just run because you have all the buildings around.
No, I don't think it is either. It doesn't matter. Let's get off of it anyway, okay? I don't want this to all be about 911. There is nothing hidden that will not be revealed, all right? Now, let's go to Romans 12 because this is where I really want to focus on today. Romans 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Boy, we need to go back and look at the word mercy, but I'm not going to do that to you. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the world, which is your reasonable service. You present your body, but watch what else happens. And not be conformed. I heard you, Lord. Conformed, reformed, deformed, informed. Do not be conformed by this world, but be ye transformed by the way you think, by the renewing of your mind. Hey, Jared, go to Webster. Go to Webster and let's look up renew.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, just a quick thought. You know, you've been saying this now for a week or so about being prepared. And so reading between the lines, what I'm hearing you say, and I think we have a scriptural precedent that before God judges a nation, he'll reveal the sins of the leaders. And what we're all hoping is that our leaders will get judged and corrected and the corruption will be made right. But we don't know that. We don't know that. It could just be that the sins of the leaders are exposed and judgment hits. And that's why it's so important to be prepared, because we don't know what the ramifications, whether our leaders will be, you know, the corrupt ones taken out,
George,
or if the corruption will continue.
We don't even know who the real leaders are. See, that's the problem. We don't know who the real leaders are. But to renew our mind, look at this, folks. To renovate, to restore to a former state. Jared, go back to Romans 1. Now look, folks, come on. Hey, Trump, let's read deep here a second. Be not conformed. Oh, I'm going to come back to that word, Jared. But be transformed by the renewing. Now, it doesn't say by being informed. It doesn't say by learning the truth. Be transformed by what you see. No, it says by renewing of your mind. And what does it mean to renew? What does that mean, Jared? It means to restore to a former state. Folks, that mean our minds used to work right? That we used to be able to look at the truth and see the truth? Was there a time that we were able to do that? And is the real truth, as we're beginning to learn, is the real battle the battleground of the mind?
Amen, Coach.
To renovate. Well, see, the toughest thing for all of us is to try to convince others that what they believe isn't true. That's the hardest thing to do. And Paul says, boys and girls, restore your mind, renew your mind, go back to where you were, to the ability to be able to recognize truth. Because watch this, if you don't recognize truth, verse 2, you're going to be conformed to this world. If you are not renewed in your mind, if you are not restored with your thinking through the Holy Spirit, your ability to recognize truth, you're being conformed to this world. That's why millions and millions and millions of people sit around a tree and sing Christmas carols. Because we're being conformed to this world. How can Christmas be so powerful and Christianity so trampled on? Other than you've been conformed to the world. Jared, what's that word mean? Conform. Conform. I don't want to be conformed. To make like, hang on a minute. Made to resemble. Assuming the same form, to make like in external appearance, to reduce, more generally, to reduce to a likeness or correspondence of manners and opinions. So I was thinking yesterday when I left Coach Norm's house, I drove by Hilliard Davidson High School, huge complex. And I'm driving by there and I thought, what has ever made Christians think that they ought to take their children and gather all the children in the entire community and stick them together in that building and come up with truth?
Because I want a 3-car garage.
Well, that's probably the reason, isn't it, Roger? But see,
yeah,
listen,
right, folks, it is.
It's the conform. See, we're being conformed. That the churches are telling people the schools are good. The churches are supporting public schools. The churches are. Why? Because we've been conformed. It's everywhere we look. And that's why I, you, Mark Trump, David Arthur, we're weird. Why? Because I ain't conforming to it anymore. I'm not buying it anymore. I'm renewing my mind. I'm putting my mind back to the original point of truth. I'm looking for the original truth. I ain't buying that 9-1-1 story anymore. I ain't buying Barack Obama was an American citizen. I ain't buying it, okay? I ain't buying John F. Kennedy was killed by Oswald. I ain't buying it. I ain't buying it that they're not spraying chemicals on us. I'm not buying it. You can conform and believe it. I ain't buying it. Go ahead, Mark.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
Amen.
That's what I was going to say is that, see, if you're okay, you have renewed your mind because, see, in order to be awakened, you had to have been asleep, obviously, but you had to have been awake before that.
At some point,
your mind was renewed.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Go ahead. Coach, the word. The renewing of is the process for the Christian, but for the unbeliever, the word repent, which is metanoia, is to have remorse, to change your heart, to change one's mind, to change one's thinking.
Look that up, Jared. Repent. Dale, you always bring good stuff in here. Conform, repent. What does it mean to repent? To feel pain, sorrow, regret for something done or spoken. To repent that we've lost much time in idleness and sensual pleasures. To express sorrow for something past. To change the mind in consequence of the inconvenience of injury done by past conduct. See, if you repent, you stop. If you're really sorry, you stop, right? So when you repent of your sins, it doesn't mean that you continue in those sins. Now, my good buddy Norm asked me a question again yesterday that he asked me about a week ago, and I gave him the answer. It was when we went to the Browns together. He asked me the question. I gave it to him. He asked me this. This would be a good one for you too, Dale. Everybody out there, renewing our mind, right? About our mind. He asked me this. One of the guys in his Bible study wanted to know if we were born with a sense of right and wrong. And I said, well, absolutely. It says in Romans 1 that the truth plainly seen. I mean, yes, we were born with understanding right and wrong. However, we get programmed as to what's right and what's wrong. But we have within us an innate understanding that something's right and something's wrong.
Hey, Coach, We also have, when we're young, we also have a range of beliefs that's much greater than as we age. Our range of beliefs, which we base truth on, there isn't a range when you're a child. And as you get older, you establish truth, and it limits your range of belief and limits your mind's ability.
And we compartmentalize.
It's all about the mind. It's all about our belief and our capabilities starting at a very young age. I was at a conference, and this guy was on the stage, and during a three-minute song, he finger-painted the artist. And he was a super talented artist, and he said, "Who wants to go next?" There's like 350 people, business people. No one raised their hands. And this one girl raised her hand, wanted to come up. And he's like, "Sit down. What if you were in college?" And I asked that, who would raise their hand? What if you were in elementary school? How many people would have raised their hand to come up here and finger paint? So we change. The world changes us. Satan changes us from that full mind. I think that maybe our mind is fuller and closer to Adam when we are a baby than we're tainted by the world and all the beliefs in it.
Wow.
So when we see something so fantastic as the government taking down a building, the first reaction happens in about 500 milliseconds. We dismiss it. But before a second goes by, we've dismissed the story because of our foundational truth that men are not that evil.
That's it, Mark. That's it, isn't it? That is the first truth that we have lost. The first truth that we have to gather is that men are inherently evil. Left to their own devices, men are inherently evil. That's the first truth that we've lost. And so we watch that 911 and say, "Oh, well, nobody can. A government do that? They George Bush wouldn't do that."
That's well, we also lose our innocence. So as a child, you'll run up in front of people and share anything on your mind. You're not going to be worried about conviction or judgment. So for men to come out and stand up against something that's false, you're not children. You're men.
And that's why Jesus says, unless you two conform like one of these little ones, you will not see the kingdom of God.
Amen. Renewing of your mind is about going back to that youthful spirit before we learn false and fake news.
Coach, give me 2 minutes. Watch this. When you see Jesus hanging on the cross and the two thieves with him, the one thief says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your Father's kingdom." Jesus looked at him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He didn't say kingdom. He said paradise. The word paradise is paradio in the Greek. It means the Garden of Eden. And in Corinthians, Paul writes, he says, "I've given you the ministry of reconciliation, restoring things to the original state." Jesus looked at that guy and says, "You have to go back to the origin, to the original, to the Garden of Eden, where God walked with man in fellowship with him.
And where everything that he created in Genesis 1, everything he created, he said, it is good. It is good." So the restoration of all things is taking everything back to the original point where it was all good. There was only one thing that he said that wasn't good. And I think that's
somebody.
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, we made me. Yep, he didn't say that was good. Go ahead.
With everything else they're saying, what I've studied and stuff with dealing with people is when you're a child, and it also works with this 9/11, when you're younger, your perception that you see becomes your reality, and your reality becomes your truth. It can all be false, and it all can be a lie. And that's why the truth is so important to be out there, because it is truth in these people's minds, and the government or whoever these people are have learned that. They've made these perceptions to become reality to people, to become a truth to people, and it's a lie.
Hey, Jared, pull up a video of a controlled demolition, not 911. Not 911. Find one. Controlled demolition. Now,
hey, Coach.
This is where they teach us not to believe what we see. Yes.
That last 5 minutes was mic drop.
It was, wasn't it? Because it's all about to restore and see. It's all being restored. Now, folks, I want you to watch this. What Jared's going to show us a couple pictures. See, we saw this very thing at 911 and told ourselves, no, we didn't. No, we didn't. No, we didn't do that. It was those planes. Say, yeah, but no planes hit those towers. Yeah, but it hit those other towers. Yeah, I know it hit those other towers, but it didn't hit Building 7. Yeah, I know it didn't. I know. But we look at this, and this is called Frontier Hotel Controlled Demolition. We look at this and say, wow, that's amazing. Look how they do that. And then we look at what they did at 911 and say, well, that wasn't it. That wasn't. See, it's cosmic. Watch this. Look at that. That's what we saw. That's what we saw. Yes or no? In fact, Jared, freeze that. Go back there just a second. Go back here just a second, Jared. I want you folks to think about this. Right, freeze right there. If you showed somebody that picture, what would they say? What would they say that's a picture of? 9-1-1.
Coach, war is ugly. Bombs were dropped on buildings all through World War II. We hit things with Tomahawk missiles that had more explosion capabilities than any plane. Never, ever has a building fallen like the Trade Centers and Tower 7 did. And, brother, we dropped bombs all over buildings. You can see the rubble. Those buildings, most of them still stood or partial stood, but none of them collapsed the way those buildings did.
Okay, so we ask ourselves then, why is it today, if you talk about what we're talking about now, people call you a fool? That's the battle, see? And folks, you understand this. In the search for truth and the hunt for truth and the acceptance and recognition of truth, this is in every aspect of your life. People do not want to unbelieve what they've been taught. They don't want to unbelieve.
It's outside their range of belief of truth.
Coach, you just answered your own question.
Amen.
Because they're conformed to the patterns of this world.
And we're warned in Romans 12 not to, right? Not to be conformed to this world.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Along with what Dale and Mark are saying, see, all this leads to becoming a victim of tradition, seeing Christmas, Easter, and you know what? And when we become victims, and it says not to do that because it makes the gospel the gospel of no effect.
Mm-hmm.
Traditions can be very dangerous.
The traditions of men making the word of God of none effect. Where is that? He teaches commandments, the doctrines of men. And why is it dangerous to teach the doctrines of men? Because you make the word of God of none effect. Where is that, Jared? In other words, hey, tongue stopped. How do you know they stopped? Well, some guy in the Baptist church told me they did. Well, yeah, but what? And you suffer him no more to do up making, is that it? No. Yes, making the word of God of none. Think about that. You cancel the power of the word of God through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things as you do. Make the word of God of none effect. What's he want us to do? He wants us to renew our mind, to make new again, to renew our mind, Jared. Go back to Romans 12, verse 1. Oh, I got so much coming out of me today. Romans 12, huh? Conform to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Keep it on going. You renew your mind. Scroll down, Jared. I think it says, by the washing of your mind, by the water of the word. Is that what it says, Dale? Somebody help me out there. Where is it?
Yep. Washing of the word. That's actually Ephesians chapter 5 talking about husbands to wash your wives in the water of the word.
But Dave, that is why going to church and sitting for 1 hour is never going to rewash your minds again.
No.
It's never going to give you enough. So it cannot be called, you've got to study God's word. If all you're doing is going an hour a week on Sunday, in many ways, you're just wasting your time.
Roger, can you explain to me? Can anybody explain to me Help me out here. Seriously. Help me out. Why we have Christmas services in our churches. Can anybody explain that to me?
To make us feel good.
Traditions, Coach, look, right?
Hey, traditions of men, that's what it is.
Hey, where do they go to have blessings on their crops in the Bible? You go to Ezekiel 8, the people go to the temple, and they mourn to Moose to bless their crops.
Wow.
The churches are becoming the place for Satan's devices.
Right. Yes, they are full of idols, are they not?
You've already got the assembly of people to broadcast some fake news and reduce their truth even more. You know, I mean, that's the way it's set up.
Roger, what would happen to that big church you go to if they announced no Christmas next year? We're not doing Christmas anymore.
I'll take it. It would be terrible. But one of our young pastors from the pulpit a couple Sundays ago proclaimed that there is no Santa Claus. He went from there. You would have thought he had, you know, lit off a fuse to blow the whole place up. It was unbelievable. The number of mommies and daddies coming up and saying, well, Junior wasn't
what
quite
a Grinch.
Ready for that. He wasn't quite ready for that one.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, there's a great video out there. It's Mike Mele. He did a Christmas message. Golly, it had to have been well over 10, 15 years ago. He lost half his congregation. He did a skit on that, and he actually shot Santa Claus right there in his service with a starter pistol. Brother, it was, man, look, the people went crazy. He lost half of his congregation that day because it was talking about the spirit of Christmas. And he says, you know, what spirit are you of? And brother, that ho, 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 this guy come out. And he takes his starting pistol out from underneath his pulpit and shoots him. This was on TV. On TV, brother.
Jared, go back to Romans 12 real quick. I want to show you something. I just saw.
Hey,
just,
Coach.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what Mark talks about all the time, frequencies.
Uh-huh.
What are we listening to? You know, it's like sometimes dogs have a sense of hearing a higher frequency, and you're like, what in the world? And that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to hear that frequency of heaven, to tune into it. And what's going on is the world is, the church is tuning into the frequency of the world and just accepting it, you know.
Amen. You know what I did this the other night. Michelle pestered this. You ought to try this, guys. Here's a look. This is for people who got too much time on their hands, I guess. I was listening to two things. An old video of the Bee Gees. And then I got fascinated by it, and I went to an old video of the Beatles. They're everywhere on YouTube. And I tried to figure out with the Bee Gees who was singing what part. Because I could hear it. I could hear it. Who's doing that? Who's, you know, it's frequency, isn't it? Where's that frequency coming from? Which one are you zoomed in on? Is that John or is that George? Was that Barry Gibb or was that Maurice Gibb? Which sound am I hearing? And the blending of those together gives a sound that's like, wow, a sound. Say, man, you know you know the Bee Gees when you hear them, don't you? Because they had their own sound. Look here. Verse 2, Romans 12. Ask yourself this. The church regarding Christmas. And be not conformed to this world. Has the church conformed to Christmas? Or has the world conformed to the church? Wow. I'm guilty. How can you walk into a church and see a Christmas tree? Come on, let's get real here. Not bah humbug, but is not walking into the church and seeing a Christmas tree the church conforming to the world?
Coach, one of the better questions, is how do you communicate it? How do you communicate it to the church? How do you, it's so far away, 9/11, from people's beliefs, that how do you bridge the gap between the people and the truth?
Well, Mark, that's, I don't know, because the truth is, right, we can show them chemtrails. You can walk them out in your yard and show them the planes making it, and they still don't believe it. They still don't want to believe it.
Right, right. They're that far from the truth and what's possible out in the world. They're way far away from their edge of what they believe is possible. And that's our job as Christians, is to tell people about a supernatural Christ and get them to believe it.
Oh, man. Hey, Jared, hey. Hang on, while George is coming in. Hey, Jared, look up, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Go ahead, George.
Well, I think I have a partial answer to Mark's question. And we're told in Scripture that if we want godly wisdom, we have to ask for it. And I think there's a whole lot of Christians that don't ask for it. They just think they've got it, but they really don't, because you have to ask for it. And it says, when you want to seek knowledge, you've got to seek it with, and wisdom, you have to seek it with everything you've got, not 10% of what you got.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But most people sitting in your church receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto them. They can't see chemtrails. They can't see 911. It's foolishness to them. Why? For they are, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, Mark Trump, judges all things. Because the Spirit guides us to truth. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But praise God, we have the mind of Christ, and those towers did not fall that way.
Hey, Coach. Because Jesus said they are blinded by the prince of this world, brother. That's why.
Unbelievable. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, just in a natural sense, think about our education system, you know. We go to school. How are we taught? We're taught to learn facts and figures. Yep. We're not taught how to learn to learn logic, to think, right. Well, wait a minute. Why is it this way? You know, it's like people get mad at kids when kids ask, why? Shut up. Just do what I tell you to do. And that's exactly what happens to us when we get older. We're just told what to do and how to think, not why. Why is it this way?
Pay your taxes. It's your duty. Why? Shut up and do it.
We also live in a capitalist society, and all of these holidays you're talking about, the government wants them because it's money.
Yeah.
A lot of money.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Jeff.
We noticed Christmas evening, Mary Jane riding around church after church after church. The parking lots were full. I mean, full. We drove down Main Street past the UCC church, the homosexual church in Mount Vernon. I've never seen many cars up there. The streets were full. The Living Center parking lot was full. The YMCA parking lot was full. And the attorney's office was full. They have been in the schools. And I've told people here recently, they've been in our schools introducing middle school kids and high school kids to after school stuff up at that church. They're little by little over the years, they're driving them in and growing that church up there like crazy.
You're just a conspiracy theorist. They're not doing that. Kids are born that way. You know they're born that way. You're just crazy. You just, right? Okay. Is that it? Right? Renew our mind. Battle for truth. The battle for truth.
Hey, Coach.
Kevin, hang on. So we got this thing in St. Louis where they're going to teach some stuff that ain't true. Focus on stuff that ain't true rather than stuff that is true. Go ahead, Kevin.
On the renewing of our minds, you know, we have to stop and think, how many times do we have to reboot our cell phones? How many times do we have to reboot our computers? This is going back into something that Mark Trump says. How many times do we have to redo that all the time?
That's right.
And we need to be doing it to ourselves every day.
This is how we wash it right here. Hey, I'm going to pick this up again tomorrow. And I am going to Urbana 2018. Michelle and I are going to go do that. And we're going to show those 20,000 people what it looks like to kill an unborn baby. What exactly that looks like. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.